context of that particular sentence. He's almost saying, you know, even though it's bad, it still turned out for the good of the furtherance of the gospel. And so this is how he is starting his letter to the brethren there. He goes a little further and he says, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard. Now here we have a man in prison, but the people that's paying the most attention to him are the guards in and about that particular palace. If you were to look at this, it almost sounds like Joseph when he had been put in prison down in Egypt. You see, everybody looked up to Joseph. He was finally the man who became the governor. But he said, it's become evident to the whole palace guard. And then he goes on, and to all the rest, that my chains are in Christ Jesus. Now you see, when we look at this, I thought about the power there. And this is why I wrote the topic, joy, though in chains. So he comes back and said, the chains that I'm wearing now are not just chains, but I'm wearing chains in Christ Jesus. And then in verse number 14, he said, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word of the Lord without fear. And so therefore, I thought it would be good for us to talk about joy, though in chains. And you know, we looked at that word from time to time, and this is when, no matter what happens, we can find the confidence and the peace, and we're all right where we are. We're just all right where we are, and everything is good. You see, it's hard to deal with a guy, and he said, oh, yeah, you got these chains on me, but these are the Lord's chains. It's no big deal, you see. You want to put some more chains on me? We can double the effectiveness in the Lord, you see. So here's how he's talking. So look at that confidence, and now the rest of the brethren in the church come back and say, if he's so fired up about these chains, why don't we get fired up and wear these chains? So we're talking about joy, though in chains. In 2 Timothy, the chapter number 2 is number 2, and the verse is number 12. And most of us have heard this verse many a time, and we probably got it committed to memory. But this is what Paul wrote to Timothy. And maybe this is why Paul was able to write to Philippi and also to Timothy. But he said, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Do you know how absolute that scripture is? Do you know how absolute that scripture is? You see, if we desire to live godly, he didn't say it may happen. He says it's going to happen. Now, if it's going to happen, and if this is our ticket to heaven, why don't I have joy in whatever situation that I'm in? So here he wrote this. Now, we're not going to get to chapter number 2. But, you know, after Paul write about these little metal chains, did you notice how he wrote about in chapter 2 how Christ learned obedience even through death on the cross? You see, here he's laying out a picture, and what we got to do is we got to see how it is. If this how it's going to be, then we got joy through chain. I want to tell you something. Whatever situation you're in life right now, I want to tell you something. That's how it's going to be. Now, you can get joyous about it, or you can whine the rest of your day. Okay? If we want to be a Christian, this is how it's going to be. And so we need to wake up and see, but we don't have to wake up here. We've been instructed that this is how our joy is going to come, and we're going to have to step up to the plate and do what we are supposed to do. Joy, though, in chains. Even though the Apostle Paul was in a Roman prison when he wrote his letter to the Philippian Christian, he was able to write with great joy. Let's ponder on the question. Let's look at this question. How can we have joy in our tribulation? How can we have joy in our tribulation? You know, the first thing is this. We need to understand why we are where we are. We need to understand why we are where we are. Now, I want to tell you something. Everybody is juicing up their religion, and we get in it. But that's not where we are. We're in this suffering religion. We're not in one of those religions where you just going to go out there and everything is going to fall just right. Because, you see, it's not, you see, the joyous part is the end result. The joyous part is not the trials and the tribulations we have to go through to get there. So to get there, we're going to have to learn to march with confidence. So since the Apostle Paul got up and marched with his chains on, look at the powerful lesson that he was able to write because he had chains on it. And then he says, everybody knows that these chains are in Christ Jesus. So therefore, I rejoice. If you look in the page at verse number 4 in this particular lesson, and we really going to start at verse number 3, but this is what the Apostle Paul writes in this particular lesson. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now, remember, he got chains on. And here he is giving thanks. He goes a little further. Always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all, how? With joy. You see, it's as if, you know, I have this little barrier, but they're not really there. Because God put me here because some of these prisoners need to know the gospel. God put me here because the folk that's bringing me pain need to know the gospel. So therefore I have joy, though I'm in chains. He goes a little further in verse number 5 and he says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He said, that's why I have joy. I have your fellowship in the gospel. You know what? We've always heard, I got your back. But we don't have each other's back until we have Christ. And when we have Christ, then I got your back. Other than that, I'm just rattling off at the mouth. But when I have Christ, now I got your back. You know why? Because we see everything coming and we're dealing with it, looking in the same direction. He goes a little further and he says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now think about it like this. Who started the good work in us? It had to be Jesus. I'm confident that he's going to continue to have this good work. Steve, we're in Philippians chapter number 1. Going to continue until the day of Christ. Now, you got to understand when that is. From whenever you start, the day of Christ is when it's all over. So all you got to do is hang tight. It doesn't matter what else happened, but I'm confident that it's going to be all right. So here he goes, and then he continues, and then in verse number 7, he finishes this, and he says, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. And you know, we like to use that word and we call it unmerited favor. But he says it doesn't matter whether you got chains on. Doesn't matter if you're burdened down, but you are partakers in the grace of our God, in the unmerited favor that he's going to deliver. And it doesn't matter what these other folk do to you. If you stay under grace, you know, we say we're under grace and truth. You stay under it, you're going to be delivered. Don't worry about it. Joy, though in chains. Think about this. God used Paul's imprisonment to advance the gospel. How many of us have thought about where we are and look for just some little opportunity to say something about the gospel? I'm not talking about preach, but, you know, keep taking every little opportunity to say something about the gospel. Making sure we live something about the gospel so folk can feel different. You know, wonder what's wrong with you. You know those peculiar people that Peter talked about over there? You know, so we fit in that particular situation. So he goes on and he used that particular thing. Paul was in chains for Christ. And, you know, when I began to look at this, I'm thinking, what a noble view of where we are. Maybe I need to think like this. Maybe I've been changed. But so what? I'm in them for a good reason. I'm in them for the right reason. And I want to accomplish all the things that go with these chains. And not only that, I'm going to do it with joy. You see, you get a little too happy, you scare folk. You know, you start doing too good, and you don't have to do good on that time, but you're happy and you're very pleased and you're joy. Folk get scared. But the reason we can do it is because we deal at a higher level than where they are accustomed, and they just can't understand that. Because of this, most brethren in the Lord had been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. And you know, if we ever get there, where we can speak the word of God courageously, we get to where we can speak it fearlessly, we're going to be able to do it. And you know, sometimes you don't speak by words. Yesterday I was doing a study and I talked about we speak by nonverbal actions. Nonverbal means we live the word of God in the things that we do. You see, because it doesn't matter what they do to us, because I have the joy, I'm able to stand and stand therefore and be firm and not give in to what they're doing and make them wonder, how am I going to be able to do it? And I can tell them, I am not able to do it, but I can do all things through Christ. Y'all do know that's in this chapter, in this particular book. You do know that. You see, before he finished this book, and we're just going to look at one chapter, but before he finished this, he said, I can do all things through Christ, because he's the one that gives me the strength. Why do you think I have joy? Because he's given me all that I need to have the joy. It doesn't matter where I am. But let's think for just a minute about our own chains. Chains not made of steel. Our own chain. Now, I won't tell you this. We all shackled down. We're shackled. It's up to us whether we're shackled for Christ or whether we're shackled for somebody else. It's up to us. It's my call. It's your call. Let's think about my own chain. My chain not made with steel. You see, when we look back at Paul, Paul knew his mission. In verse number 21 of chapter number 1, this is what Paul said. He says this. He says in 21, he says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Why? Because he knew why he had his chains on. And though our chains are not made of steel, but there are some people that's somewhere housed in a prison in chains. And they're not chained for Christ Jesus. But they're so chained on themselves, Jesus can't even rip the shackles off of them. These are some of the things that we need to see and we need to understand. But as we think about our chains, and as we think about the fact that we all have chains and they're not made of steel, when we look back up two verses, starting at verse number 19, the Apostle Paul says this, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You remember now, he's talking like this, but most of us remember how Paul talked to Timothy. When Paul talked to Timothy, he said this. He said, for I am now ready to be offered up. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Now, therefore, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, but not to me only, but to all of those who faithfully wear their chains in Christ Jesus. I know he said it a little different from that, but this is what he says there. He goes a little further in verse number 20 after he says that the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, he says, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Now we got our chains on. But now here's what we got to do. We got to start praying. Lord, for you, in nothing, I don't want to be ashamed, but I want to be able to stand bold. When somebody asks you why you do what you do, don't be ashamed of it. Don't worry about what they say. I can remember when our name was Carmelites. It bothered us, but don't worry about it. You see what I mean? Don't be ashamed of it. Even though that was improper, that was the best they knew, but we need to learn how to live boldly. There are other things that we need to do. Now, even though many times we didn't say it, but somebody said it, and the one that said we the one thing, we the only one going to heaven and everybody else going to hell, don't try to battle that unless they want to study the scripture. But I want to tell you this. Doesn't matter what they say, the Bible is still right. And we can sit long enough and study the word of God, we'll let Jesus speak for us through the power of the Holy Spirit. But Paul is saying, hey, I want to wear these chains, and I don't want to be ashamed. So you know some of those chains we have to wear when we're trying to live a pure life, when we're trying to live a holy life, when folks cussing us out of one side of the mouth, and then they pull my foot aside the other, you see? I want to wear my chain and not be ashamed, but be proud of the fact that I'm standing up for Jesus. This is what he's talking about. You see, our chains are not made of steel, but there are people who are brutally treat us. And we got to learn how not to, not just not to go off, but not even think about it. Because we don't want to be ashamed, and we don't want to look, and we want to stand firm. Now, you, a lot of us, we want to speak for Christ. But we don't read the part that says slow to speak and quick to hear. We don't read that verse. We read the one just to speak, and we said the wrong stuff. But we're going to have to learn how to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. And you know what the Bible says about that? And he will lift you up. We got to learn how to do that. Paul completes this first chapter. And what I'm hoping is, I'm hoping we get a picture of this first chapter. But Paul completes this first chapter in Philippians by encouraging our joy through our suffering or our chain not made of steel. This is what he's saying. And this is how we ought to leave here. We ought to leave here saying, I learned something. I learned that I got to get myself together and get ready to suffer, because that's the good stuff. That's the good stuff. You see, this suffering is the good stuff. It's not the bad stuff. What everybody else thinks is the good stuff is the wrong stuff. But the suffering is the good stuff. Now, you know what? I sound a little wacky. But it's in the book. So that means Jesus sounds a little wacky too. I'm sure he was a little wacky in the day. But who is able to deliver me? And so we need to see it that way, you see. So therefore, he said, get you some joy. Learn, I'm going to have to suffer. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut up while I suffer. Have fun. Why? Because I've been called to suffer. I remember the Apostle Paul talks about he wanted to learn how to share in the suffering of Jesus Christ. You see, if you see that last week, you know, while he walked and while he talked, and he already knew before Judas Iscariot and all the rest of them got around to it, he already knew he was going to have to die on the cross. And when you can see that, and then, but he got joy because he wanted his Father's will to be done. And so we're going to have to step it up. You know, I'm accused of this up in Tennessee. I say, you don't change your mind in the Lord's church. You lose your mind. And you take on the mind of Christ. Listen to what it says in chapter number 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So if that's the mind that's got to be in you, you got to lose the one that's already in you. So therefore, we got to find the power of the joy through our suffering or through our chains not made of steel. Last verses, 27 through 29. He calls on all Christians to keep striving and to keep suffering for Jesus Christ. Now listen to what I said now. See, we want to strive, but we don't want to suffer. But he's calling on us to strive and to suffer. You see what I mean? You know, when you say I'm striving, you're not striving unless you learn how to suffer while you strive. That's the only way that we're going to be able to get there. In verse number 27 of chapter number 1, this is what he says. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see what he said? He said we can have conduct that's not even fit to allow us to be called a Christian. We're not even worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that when I come and see you, or if I'm absent from you, it doesn't matter, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Listen to how he says it, you see. I want you to be worthy. You see, basically he's saying, you call yourself a Christian, but you're not a Christian until you're worthy to have that name. Other than that, you're a hypocrite. You're faking it. This is what he's saying to all of us. Then he finishes in these last two verses, and he says this, and not in any way terrified by your adversary. I want you to look at even the people who weren't Christians that were great. When they rose to their level, no one was able to terrify them. And it scared the world. And if they can do it without Christ, then with Christ, look at where we can go to. Not in any way terrified by our adversaries, which is to them a proof. Don't you just love that word? Proof of perdition. But to you, of salvation, and that salvation from God. Then in the last verse that we have here, he says, for to you, it has been granted on behalf of Jesus Christ, not only to believe in him, but listen, but also to suffer for his sake. Now listen to what he said now. He said, everybody is not granted this glorious privilege, but it's granted to you not only to believe, but to suffer for his sake. You see, I think there's enough powerful stuff there for me to just try to do a little bit, to learn how to live a little bit in that realm. You know what I mean? You see, I think we've been living down here too long. Our feet ought to be 42 feet off the ground. We ought to be living up in another realm, to where the rest of the world, let them call us foolish, but be fools for Christ Jesus. Learn how to partake. Basically, what this text says is this. If I don't learn how to suffer, I ain't in the game. You see what I'm saying? If you don't learn how to suffer, you ain't in the game. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We got to go say, Lord, I need you to help me to know when I begin to learn how to suffer. Because some of us may not have suffered any yet. We might be afraid to suffer. And if we're afraid to suffer, we're afraid to enjoy the joy. Did you get that? If we're afraid to suffer, we're afraid to enjoy the joy that is in Christ Jesus. Anyone who desires to live as a Christian will suffer persecution. Matter of fact, we need to do enough right to make them want to persecute us. Not because we're bad, but because we're good in Jesus Christ. This is what this is all about. Joy, though in chains. And remember, We are all in chains. It's just up to us to decide whether our chains are in Christ or decide whether our chains are in the devil. It's up to us. And there's only two sets of chains that we can have in this day and this time. And I got on one set or the other. And you also have on one set or the other. And you know, sometimes you just can't look down at those chains and see which color I got on. If you know what I mean. So therefore, we got to step up to the plate. Now, how do we learn how to suffer? Just keep on doing whatever it is the Lord called us to do. You do enough of it, you're going to suffer. Because there's some stuff in your family, on your job, somewhere, that you don't have to be ugly about, but you're going to have to stand firm about, and they're not going to like it. I can't do that. Why? Jesus won't allow me. Well, we're going to have to do something about you. Now, here's where the catch comes. Okay. I must obey God rather than man. Y'all heard that before? Y'all heard that before, didn't you? You know? We're going to have to whip up on them. Okay. But we must obey God rather than man. Now the rubber meets the road. Joy. Though in chains. If you're here today, this is a glorious opportunity, a great lesson. I think it's something we need to go back and look at because it's so hard to just glean everything from this passage in just a few minutes. But it would be a great passage to learn to study so that no matter what happens, no matter what we go through, we spend this life in joy. You know some of the misery that we're talking about? When we see it right, then all of that misery turn to joy because we realize that we're suffering for his name's sake. When we do that, we're on the right track. God has called us. So let's check out our mind. Let's think about it. See where we are. And wherever we are, let's make the changes necessary to learn how to wear our chains with pride. You see, if I'm wearing the devil's chain and don't know it, I'm really ashamed. And if you wear the devil's chain and don't know it, you ought to be ashamed. Y'all get that? So I need to try to learn how to wear the right set of chains since I got to wear them anyway. At least wear the good stuff. Do y'all remember back when they first started selling this designer stuff and half of the stuff was fake, but they were still charging the money for it? You see, the bad part about it, if you paid all that money for something that wasn't it, so if you paid all this price, at least get the real stuff. Don't y'all agree with that? We need to do that. If you're here this evening, if you need to make another commitment, whatever it is, if Christ is calling you to do something, then today is the day we ought to get up and do it so we can live with joy, even though we're wearing chains. And we beg you right now, come to Jesus while we stand, while we stand.